It's time to get in the loop with LPS, the official podcast of Liberty Public Schools. From the latest school and district news, updates on various district hot topics, and opportunities to meet all of those that help make LPS great, In the Loop with LPS is here to provide yet another opportunity for us to stay connected with you. So let's get started and send you to the longtime director of communications with Liberty Public Schools and your host of In the Loop with LPS, Dallas Ackerman.
We welcome everyone back to In the Loop with LPS. It's the official podcast of Liberty Public Schools. I'm your host. My name is Dallas Ackerman, and I'm the director of communications here in LPS, and really excited to be joined by our next guest here this week, and that being Mr. Joel Lovelady. He is our newest member of our district leadership team, at least one of the new members as we hop into this 24-25 school year. And Joel, so glad to have you with us. Looking forward to the next 20 or 30 minutes or so just to learn more about you. And again, we're just glad you could join our team here in Liberty Schools.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Well, so we were just talking before we jump on here. You're now 8 weeks into this new role as Director of Safety and Security. How would you describe it?
A little bit of drinking from fire hose, meeting lots of new faces, lots of new people, getting to know administration, parents, staff, and just the new environment that I've been introduced to.
And I would say maybe a word, busy?
Busy would be a good way to put it. But learning as I go, though.
How do you attack something like that where you come into a new role? Of course, we're going to talk about your experience, mm-hmm. a tremendous amount of leadership experience with the law enforcement and the Kansas City Police Department. But I think that's one question that jumps out at me is you probably hadn't applied for a completely different job in quite some time.
Correct. We were joking around about my last job before law enforcement, which would have been I did a little bit of security while I was waiting to get hired with the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department. And then before that, you're going back to Worlds of Fun, Oceans of Fun, and a cell phone lawn business of like three neighborhood lawns in the area. So, yeah, the work history was pretty easy to document.
Yeah, for sure. We want to talk about, of course, your work that you're going to be doing here in LPS and already underway. But I always like with our guests, and especially folks that may not know Joel Lovelady, just to talk a little bit about yourself. Let's go all the way back to young Joel Lovelady. Where'd you grow up, and then of course make your way here to Kansas City?
So I grew up in Kansas City, if the old Eastgate Middle School just down the hill on Sunnybrook is where I grew up. So I had one older sister. Grew up in went to a private school for several years, then switched over to what I commonly refer to as the Harvard of the Midwest. Winnetonka High School.
Yes, the Griffins.
The Griffins. So graduated from there, stayed semi-local, pursuing a criminal justice degree, and went down to then Central Missouri State, now UCM. Right after college, started looking, actually as I was getting ready to graduate, started looking at where I wanted to go. Kansas City, it was a legacy thing. My father was a police officer. My mother was a teacher. So my sister was also a teacher, aunt and uncles in the education field. So wanted to stay local, had a lot of family ties. So Kansas City, the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department offered lots of career mobility, lots of different jobs, and was just something I kind of grew up in that family.
And then talk about your journey through KCPD over your years. You had a nice career.
I had a fantastic career. Just a handful of days where I'd be like, I don't know about this. But overall, incredibly rewarding. Started off, most of my time was spent downtown, Central Patrol Division, East Patrol Division, and Metro. Was lucky enough to be selected for a couple different jobs. Worked in our Special Operations Division as an officer, two times, sergeant, captain, and major for a little bit. Had the opportunity to be an instructor at our regional academy, and then got promoted from there when I was a sergeant. Had the opportunity to bounce around again a little bit, deal with some crime strategy efforts. Like I mentioned, go back to Special Operations Division. and really had a great time learning at each level. Then I got promoted to captain. Again, had some great assignments, was very lucky to be surrounded by some great people who did some great work, and just kind of clear the path for them and let them do their thing and just get out of their way and support them as they did it. And then I was selected as captain candidate to be a major. From there, I had a couple different assignments. North Patrol Division, I spent some time over there, which was fantastic. I had some great community partners over there, as I did throughout several of my assignments. Got to go back to our Special Operations Division, which is our SWAT team, K-9, helicopter, bomb and arson. Continued to learn along the way there. And then my final stop was the Regional Police Academy, where I spent my last year, which was fun because I got to go back and some of the instructors that I taught with were still there.
Oh, wow.
Some of the officers that I had seen grow up were now instructors up there and doing great things with the recruits as they come in.
And then, again, we're visiting with Joel Lovelady, the Liberty Public Schools Safety and Security Director. Something that kind of jumped out at me, of course, our football team, our professional football team here in Kansas City has had such success and had a few big events in recent years. And I know you were a big part of that. Could you talk about that?
So with all of our sports teams, you know, my kids have been very blessed to see the success that all of our sports teams have had in their lifetime.
Our young people don't understand what it was like back in the 80s.
I'm not going to speak disparagingly about any of the teams, but I will just say top to bottom, the roster specifically for the Chiefs is better.
Yes.
So, yes, much more fantasy picks coming off the roster now than would have been in those times.
Correct.
But I was lucky enough to be a part of the 15 celebration, the World Series parade. Great learning experience, a lot of great people that I met, and then got to see it, you know, Kansas City come celebrate. And then as the Chiefs kind of rose to prominence of where they are now, got to be a part of their celebrations for their Super Bowl titles, and then also the NFL draft, which was a great experience in and of itself. A big animal, a big beast in partnership with different, you know, all kind of community partners that come together, and great help from regional support from the Missouri Highway Patrol to other local agencies that came in and helped out, to business partners and all everyone that was affected in that footprint area to pull off the celebrations and the draft as well.
Yeah. So you talk about your law enforcement experience at kind of going back. And of course you mentioned you attended, at that time, Central Missouri State, down in Warrensburg, now UCM.
UCM.
Yes. That's a big law enforcement, criminal justice.
Correct.
And was your dad a big influence on you as far as getting into law enforcement?
No. Yes and no. He worked in an assignment where for a very long time, I didn't even know he was a police officer. So accidentally stumbled onto that. Huh. When I located a badge one time and I'm like, what's this? But I kind of grew up in that family, and that support. He passed away when I was 15. So that kind of altered some of the things I was exploring. At the time it was, you know, military was kind of an option. I liked that. Law school was something I was interested in, but really law enforcement was the tug, and then staying local, kind of leaving things better than you found it. Was something that my family had kind of instilled in me, not kind of, but very much instilled in me growing up. And so working in my own community was a huge pull. And Central Missouri had a great program, still does have a great criminal justice program. So it was kind of easy. It's a great school. Facilities have gotten even better. We've gone down there for several things, and they continue to make improvements. But it was a local school with the interest that I had, sort of provided me the opportunity, and then lucked out and got on with Kansas City afterwards.
Absolutely. So when you talk about mentors on this podcast, oftentimes that gets brought up. We all have people that made a big difference in our life and took us down certain career paths, and you can credit for your success. Who jumps out as your mentor?
First of all, it's tough to name names because I don't want to leave somebody off. But I worked for several chiefs, including my last chief, Stacy Graves, who everyone had an impact on. Even though they're the head of the organization and sometimes several layers above you, had a great impact on them, or a great impact on me. I was lucky enough to work out worked for several different supervisors, had some different management styles and different strengths and weaknesses that when you're an officer and you're aspiring to get promoted, you're like, I really like what they did here. I really like how they handled this situation, or I like their demeanor. Or even when you're getting your butt chewed necessarily, like, hey, I like how they addressed it. They handled the problem, but they didn't belittle you with it. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to name anyone in particular just because I'll leave somebody off. But there were some great people that that helped me throughout my law enforcement career. And then as I pursued this job, some contacts that I reached back out to that had a great impact on that.
You know, where I know our, not only Kansas City, but across the country, we're always looking for good police officers and looking for officers. I know sometimes it can be harder and harder to find officers. And what would you tell if there was a young person listening to this podcast interested in getting into law enforcement? What message would you have for them?
Give it a try. It is somewhat of a calling. It's a tough sell when you look at the job market of most jobs are 9 to 5, something along those lines, Monday through Friday. And you're talking about law enforcement where you're probably going to start off on nights or the overnights, and you're going to have some rotating days off. But the shift work, if you can handle it, it's incredibly rewarding. You see people on their worst days and you get to help. You see people on their best days and get to celebrate with them, like we talked about with the celebrations. But really, I don't have any regrets with it. And it's a pursuit that it's worthwhile. It makes an impact. You're doing good for your community. And, you know, people ask, would you do it over again? I was like, absolutely. So while it is a very tough career, it can be tough and, you know, tough on your body, tough on your family. At times you miss some events. There's still some events that my wife gives me flack on for missing one specifically, but very rewarding, and I would pursue it. There's, particularly with Kansas City, which is my frame of reference, of there's so many different things that you can go into, whether you're looking to handle a dog, get into crime analytics, community engagement. You want to learn to fly helicopters. You want to do the SWAT world. You want to be an instructor and mentor and guide new officers as they come through. Or you want to go into recruitment and bring people into the career that you enjoy. So I have no ill words against my previous line of work, and strongly encourage folks that are considering it to look into it.
So you ended up, how many years did you put in at Kansas City?
A little over 26.
26. And then tell us how this all came about as far as you becoming aware that there was going to be an opening here in Liberty Public Schools, and when you decided, you know, I'm gonna go for this.
So I had no plans of retiring at 26. My plan was to do 30 to 32 and then kind of pursue, you know, my next passion, something I wanted to do. However, that doesn't, your plans, best laid plans, don't always work out. And I had some friends, both educators and security officers for the district, that hinted that Gary might be looking to retire. And Gary had done a lot of great things to get the program where it's at now. And so I started talking to people in the district, finding out a little bit more about it. Talked to Gary a little bit about it well before he was really looking at going and retiring. And then when it came up, the job opening came up, and I talked to a couple people. I talked to a buddy outside of law enforcement. He gave me some advice, which was the unfiltered advice, and, you know, not the friends on law enforcement or anybody that really had any tie to either side of it. And the perspective was, okay, if you put in for it and you don't get it, you don't lose anything. If you put in for it and you do get the offer, you don't have to take it. So what's the risk in putting in for it? And it was something that I'd always had a great interest in. We had, through my career path, we had ended up working a lot with schools on safety and security assessments, active shooter response, and tied into a lot of my job assignments. So the job, again, not the timeline necessarily that I was looking for, but the job very much interested me, particularly the Liberty public school system.
Because we should add for our listeners, you are a Liberty Schools resident.
Yes.
Your kids have gone through our school,
yeah,
still at North.
One that graduated, one that's still in the district. So yeah, so this specifically wasn't looking for a safety and security job. It was more of, I was looking forward to this one in particular, should it open up. And then, like, you know, Gary Majors retired, and I was lucky enough to get the job offer.
Yeah. So day one, you come in here. Now, everyone somewhat close to our central office knows safety and security department has grown enormously over the last, I think in my now 16 years, we had a part-time security officer, security director at that time, you know, maybe a few mobiles. And of course they'd work events. And now all of a sudden it's a robust team.
Yeah. My predecessor did a fantastic job of working with the district, with the district leadership team and the support from the community to build up to what it is now, where we've got an armed security officer in every school, a couple in the high schools to cover the events as the district has grown and placed a big priority on it and had support from the community.
Yeah.
It's been able to be built up.
That's the thing we always mention, and I think it goes without saying again, that the fact of the appreciation for our community just on that last bond issue, not even a couple years ago, that allowed for the expansion of the safety and security department.
Yeah, and a lot of our security officers are members of the district as well. They've got spouses that work in the district and kids that work in the district, so they're very vested and take it very seriously.
I would have to think, Joel, quite an advantage for you in the fact there's quite a few of these team members of yours that have Kansas City, Missouri Police Department mm-hmm. experience. You had relationships built with quite a few of these folks, right?
Yeah, there were quite a few that I knew that had retired and came on and worked for the district and had different relationships with. Some I coached their kids or coached yeah. with them or some things like that. So I had several contacts with both the security staff and teachers.
A question that comes up fairly often, especially is now not only Liberty, but it's no secret other districts are expanding their departments. Mm-hmm. It's a top of mind with many in our neighboring communities. As far as availability or these maybe retired officers mm-hmm. that are available, will that be challenging to find the individuals to fill some of these positions? Or
yes and no. You're looking for the right candidate, not just a candidate. But whether it's law enforcement, the safety and security officers, or really any job, you're all fighting for good qualified candidates. So, you know, timing, networking, and really getting out there and making those connections is what is going to bring good people in.
Yeah.
The same thing with trying to bring in good educators, good public information officers and things like that. So it's really getting out there and making those connections and trying to put something, you know, maybe ahead of somebody like, hey, I know you're looking to retire in a year or two, or you have to retire within this time frame. Have you thought about this? Mm-hmm. Hey, keep this in mind. Mm-hmm. If you have any questions, get a hold of me.
Absolutely. Again, Joel Lovelady, our Director of Safety and Security, so kind to take a few minutes to join us here as part of In the Loop with LPS, which, of course, is our official district podcast. But you talk about, you know, something we visit so much about around the office is the importance of relationships. And I'm sure that's been a lot of your work as well, just here in the first couple of months is, you have relationships built with many of your members of your security team, but building those relationships with our building principals and other members of our district leadership team, our teachers and other staff. I'm sure you have been busy working with that.
Yeah, trying to get out as much as I can to get the face-to-face, that one-on-one. You know, the name was introduced on Twitter, which was a funny story in and of itself. I didn't know the tweet was going to come out, and I got my phone was blowing up while I'm trying to drive somewhere, and I'm like, what is going on? But trying to get out and meet all the principals, the assistant principals, and the security officers and how they interact and what they need, and what their priorities are. Like, what's their big, each school's its own little city.
Mm-hmm.
So what are their needs there? How do we support that? You know, and making them feel comfortable contacting me for questions, and really trying to get to know them on that school need, what that individual school needs.
You know, it was just within days, I think, of us starting our school year here in LPS. Of course, the tragic shooting at the high school outside of Atlanta, and like every other tragedy like that, instantly, despite it being hundreds of miles away, it spurs questions here at home. And there they came again, just early on into this school year. And then from that, we take on the questions and the rumors and the misinformation around social media threats.
Yes.
And we really haven't had a chance to talk verbally about any of this. I'm sure our parents have seen many of communications,
yes,
in written format,
yes,
that have come out from whether one we sent out from the district. And then, of course, anytime there's some rumors or happenings taking place at a specific school, the school will communicate that information as much as they can. That became quite a challenge for us all coming out, and you were right in the middle of that. What would be your big message around that? Because it gained so much media coverage, and I know there were some arrests maybe in some neighboring districts on mm-hmm. Specifically over in Jackson County. But first of all, very serious offense for these individuals, you know, posting those type of social media posts, and then just how we handle that as a district.
Yeah, my biggest message would be, you know, more for, well, both students and their parents, is communication. A lot of the threats or images that were going around, we take all of them serious.
Sure.
We take them very serious, but instead of retweeting it or resnapping it or sharing it on a text thread, is telling a teacher, a parent, one of the security officers, telling an adult, hey, I saw this, and in a timely fashion, so that we can run it down to either address if there is a threat or to get with our communications folks and the school and the, you know, and the respective parents that it's impacted and the families that it's impacted, and let them know there's no threat. We had several where we were a little bit behind because we just didn't know. We weren't on that text thread or that snap chain. And then some of them recycled. A parent would see it on, you know, from one school on a Monday, and we would look at it, and there would be rumors and concern about that, and absolutely run it aground, communicating with local law enforcement, federal agencies in support of it. And then it would resurface Wednesday at a different school because a different student or a different teen got a hold of it, and now it kind of sparked up concern again. So several of the images that were going around were just recycling kind of on different timelines.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the biggest thing, was we contacted a couple parents where we had heard that their child had seen an image or shared an image, and the student had information on the thread and just didn't share it. And it's important that we get that information, or law enforcement gets that information, as fast as possible, so that we can intervene if there is a threat, or calm everyone down if there is no threat, and communicate where we're at with it.
I know Gary had said over the years, kind of the go-to was that see something, say something. And that you start hearing more and more of that. And that is important for our students and families to know that, indeed, if they hear anything, to please engage us, and it will certainly be looked into.
Yeah, we had some great examples of some very, very quickly, some information that was shared very quickly with us from some engaged parents and students, both, that were like, hey, I saw this. I don't know if this is real or not, but I want to make you aware. Very appreciative of that. That helps us get out in front of it as fast as possible, both from the response and the assessment side to the communication side, as quickly as we can address it.
And kind of going back on relationships, I mean, when those things are reported, of course, you're looped in immediately. And then you seek out others, of course, around the metro, or people that you know, right, that you can get answers to some of these questions.
Officer Cronin with Liberty Police Department, you know, we share information and communicate daily almost. And then contacts that I've got with Kansas City, Missouri Police Department, support from the federal side on any terroristic threats. And then you've got the other directors of safety and security throughout the area. You've got North Kansas City, Park Hill, Platte County, that we regularly communicate with. And there's actually a regular meeting of all the directors that we get together and what are we seeing. But when you're talking about the threats or an image going around, very quickly we're on a thread together of I'm seeing this, anybody seeing this, or we're hearing a rumor at your school, or they're hearing a rumor at our school, any validity to it, or what can we do to help?
Yeah.
So a strong support system with it and a lot of partners in addressing it.
So two months into your position here with us, anything that you didn't think about or you didn't expect in this position, or things that have surprised you?
I think the biggest thing would be the timing of experiencing the first tragedy outside of Atlanta. That kind of kicked off something that we talked about very quickly into my tenure here. So it was a little bit of baptism by fire, kind of drinking from the fire hose, if you would, of, okay, here are the resources and how quickly a rumor can cause a great deal of concern and a great deal of chaos.
Yeah.
But really nothing else except maybe just the volume of things. So a lot of moving pieces and a lot of new people to meet.
Yeah. Oftentimes it's that perception of danger or perception. Yes. We may know that everything's okay at Lewis and Clark, but a couple of ambulances and a fire truck with lights on can cause some concern for people.
Yeah, anytime that you've got EMS at a school, you know, police, fire, it causes concern.
Yeah.
Because as a parent, it's one of the first things, is that my kid? And then are the kids okay? Is it a, you know, how global is this? How widespread? A lot of times it's someone fell or someone got injured or shortness of breath or, you know, whatever it is. And it's nothing to panic about. But very quickly, a rumor can go to another person in another rumor, and then it's out of control.
Off we go. We just have a few minutes left here, and I know we have to get to our all-important three random questions. But before we do get to those, what does Joel Lovelady like to do in his spare time? I hear that you're pretty wrapped up in softball.
Right now, I'm wrapped up in high school softball. So in my spare time, it's chasing kids. Mm-hmm. So like I said, I've got one that graduated from the district, and he's a student athlete in college. And so
a wrestler.
He's a wrestler.
Yep.
And his season won't really kick off until November. So right now it's the calm before the storm. For my daughter, it is high school softball season, and team's doing very well. Coach Bowman's got them playing very, very well right now, but there's a ton of good competition in this area. So I get to watch players that I've coached or are still coaching compete locally, and there's some outstanding talent in this area. So right now it's kind of sitting back enjoying being a dad in the stands and just cheering on.
But you mentioned, though, you do have coaching experience. Would you be considered a professional softball coach?
No, because professionals get paid. I've been told if you're good at something, don't ever do it for free. So apparently I'm not that good a coach done it because I enjoyed it. So, you know, it was coaching flag football with our boys, with Andy Schneider.
Oh, my
Liberty
gosh.
Parks and Rec. Yeah, coaching that group. And Paul Hinschke, the Tide back in the day for Liberty Parks and Rec, to baseball with really a lot of the same kiddos who just transferred over to baseball. And then when my daughter got old enough, coaching her at softball. So really a lot of time spent at a ball field somewhere.
And those are like the best memories, aren't they?
Wow. Enjoy them. I keep hearing that it's relaxing when they're done. I'm willing to try that, but I'll wait. I'll enjoy it while I've got it. Because the student athlete side of it, or just being an athlete, whether it's little league, high school, college, whatever, I tell all the athletes, hey, enjoy the ride. enjoy the journey, because it will end for all of us. You will age out, injury out, interest out, whether it's boyfriend, girlfriend, you have kids yourself. It will all end for all of us. So enjoy the ride.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are great words of wisdom from Joel Lovelady. Tell us about when I saw your name, Lovelady. Mm-hmm. That's obviously a different last name.
It stands out a little bit.
Any history around that you can share?
So I haven't gone back far enough yet, but it is.
There was a Royals pitcher named.
There was Richard Lovelady.
Richard Lovelady, no relation.
I think distant.
Really?
I didn't get any free tickets, put it that way. I didn't get a jersey. I didn't get free tickets. I wasn't up in a suite.
And he's no longer a member of the organization.
No.
I guess.
But there's been some. My dad's family is from the southern part of the country, and there's been a couple Loveladies. Richard Lovelady came out of there. There was a catcher from Mississippi State. I don't know where he's at now.
Huh.
But it was German-Irish, German-English.
Okay.
So we're not sure if it was Lovelady or that they dropped a D when the Irish side came over. Because my mother's grandmother's maiden name is McGonigal,
okay.
Or great-grandmother.
Okay.
And so we're not sure if it's the Irish Lovelady and they dropped the D to sound more English, or it's the German-English Lovelady. Either way, it stands out when people see it on a name tag. They kind of do the double take.
We get to the bottom of everything here on In the Loop with LPS. Are you ready for three random questions?
Let's go.
I don't mean to try to stump you, but you know it's just a part of the program, and we think we have three pretty good ones for you this week. Question one.
Okay.
That would be your favorite law enforcement television show or movie. You know, we figure this is certainly relevant. Of course, with your background in law enforcement, did you have an interest in watching those kind of shows?
I will cheat and go two parts. So I'm going to age myself a little bit or age my parents. Hill Street Blues.
I have that on my sheet.
Are you serious?
Yeah, my dad was a deputy sheriff.
Okay.
In Carroll County, east of here. And as a kid, I still remember him watching Hill Street Blues.
Oh, the stand-up roll call on the Hill? Yes. Now, I watched it on a much smaller television that you had to walk over to
Same.
Change the channel.
Absolutely.
But I would say that still is a memory that I've got of watching that with my parents. And then law enforcement, it's maybe loosely law enforcement, but it hits a law enforcement character would be Tombstone.
Oh, sure.
So yeah, Wyatt Earp, Doc Holliday, the Cowboys. I'm for those that know me, this is no secret, but I'm a one-liner person. Love movie quotes. If you could have made it into science, I would have been a NASA scientist. But you
love it.
It serves me no purpose other than humor.
Yeah.
But Tombstone's a movie that if I'm ever flipping through and hit, I can watch over and over.
Did you ever watch this? Goes back. Gosh, would this go back into the 70s or 80s? Chips.
Oh, absolutely.
With Ponch on the
absolutely.
Motorcycle.
I've got a picture of my old partner and I dressed up as the California Highway Patrol.
Really?
Somewhere out there is a Missouri State Highway Patrolman who stopped me in full regalia of the California Highway Patrol to include a California Highway Patrol loner badge, like a replica.
If he's
badge.
Listening, maybe he could let us know.
He's got a picture of me on the side of the road. I thought I was getting in trouble when he's like, step out of the car. No, he just wanted a picture with me.
What year would that have been?
Oh, man. Early 2000s.
Okay.
But yeah, I was on my way to a costume party to include the gold helmet, the tall black boots, the motorcycle boots, and met a real trooper.
That's it.
I was dressed as a
whether you liked it or not.
Yeah. So, no, I absolutely grew up watching that.
I've been pulled over one time, and I was on my way to a Saturday. We were golfing in Excelsior. And I thought I'd stop. It was at this real small street and apparently thought that I didn't make a complete stop. And he asked for my insurance card and I was scrambling for it and I couldn't find it. And then I said, wait a minute, my insurance agent's actually in the back seat. He was golfing with us that day. So he held me out.
Well timed.
Well timed. Yeah.
Now, were you dressed as a...
I was dressed
California
as,
Highway Patrol. Dressed as Chips.
I was dressed as a wannabe
Posh
golfer.
Baker.
I was a wannabe golfer. Yes, that fateful morning. NYPD blue, of course. That kind of made law enforcement pretty cool. I don't know when the NYPD blue came out, but that was a big show. Not to transition back to our
there were a lot of good shows, although not all realistic, but. With the age of my kids, you know, people would be like, did you watch the show last night? I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I was
same.
Running around and doing something or trying to get a last minute mowing in because you knew it was going to have a kid's sports activity weekend.
Exactly. So question number two, this would be the kind of the meat of the sandwich. If you hadn't had a career in law enforcement, what would Joel Lovelady be doing for a career?
If it hadn't been law enforcement, I had been looking into the military as a career, and I had always had an interest in law school. So I have no idea where that came from. I still remember that as a kid of like 6 or 7 sitting on the steps and debating what I wanted to do, which had,
wow.
Yeah, no idea what I was doing at the time. But like I said, when my father passed away, I did the appeal of kind of going away to the military. Kind of faded away with my family here. My mom was still here by herself. So I was like, that's probably not the best choice.
Mm-hmm.
So really it got narrowed down to law enforcement or law school. And I think I made the right choice for me going into law enforcement.
Yeah. And the final question then, and you'll be off the hook. If you could have dinner with anyone in the world, that would be living or dead, who would that person be?
There are so many interesting options with that.
That's a loaded question.
Well, I mean, there are so many. When you talk about, you know, family members that went before you or historical figures, religious or just impactful.
So it sounds like I need to change this to if there were 100 people.
I mean, there's so many because you think of being a sports person. You think of like Pete Rose just recently passed away.
Yes.
I think that would be crazy interesting sit down one-on-one. Obviously, my parents and grandparents would be one on the family tie. Historical, there's so many world leaders where you'd want to pick their brain as to what their motivation was or what their strategy was, great strategists,
yeah.
Or just some of the brilliant minds that you've had of picking their brain as the different perspectives that they've had with it. So that's bad. I don't have a good answer for that, but sounds so indecisive. But yeah, I can't think of one that pops off the top of my head that stands out.
I'll let you off the hook.
All right. Yeah, that's a mood depending. Am I being introspective? Like I said, the family aspect of it. Yeah, there's so many that I'd love to go back and have a good conversation. Yeah,
I'd probably be the same way. I'm the one that gets to just come up with those questions and throw them at guests. But
hey, you said 3 random questions.
3 random questions. So there you have it. 3 random questions with Joel Lovelady. We are quickly out of time. We've actually maybe even gone over a few minutes, but that's fine. That's fine. That's how we roll on In the Loop with LPS. Before I let you go, though, again, if anyone has any questions, you guys have a great website set up with all information about what's going on with LPS safety and security. I know you're readily available to visit with anyone via email or phone. What are the best ways to get a hold of you?
Email or phone. The site, like you said, has got a lot of information on it. Whether it's you're looking for a specific school or to contact me or a member of our team. But really email or phone. Just understand that sometimes with as many buildings as we have and employees as we have and students that we have, it may take just a minute to get back with you, but I will get back with you.
I know later this fall, I think it's coming up toward the end of the semester, we have you locked in to do a coffee with the community virtually from up here on the third floor at the DAC. So we'll look forward to that. And that'll be a little bit more of a formal. You'll probably take us through a few slides and give an update to our community. And that's on our Facebook Live page. But of course, this interview will also be made available on your on your safety and security website. And Joel, I really can't thank you enough for coming by and visiting, and thanks for being a part of our team. You're off to a great start, and just really look forward to working with you over the coming years.
No, I'm excited. Everyone here at the district has been great, to include, you know, the students and families. And I'll apologize for running late, and I'm self-aware that I've got a voice for silent movies and a face for radio there. So,
hey, likewise. And it takes two to tango, right? But no, really appreciate, again, you coming by, and best of luck the rest of the school year.
I appreciate it. Joel, right, thank you for having me.
Yeah, Joel Lovelady, so kind to come by and join us as part of In the Loop with LPS this week. Be sure to join us next time. We'll have some more amazing guests as we continue on. Thanks for listening, and have a great week, LPS.
Thanks for choosing to spend a few minutes with us and getting in the loop with LPS. Don't forget, you can also stay in the loop with us by following Liberty Public Schools on our various social media platforms, including Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube, and by downloading our LPS mobile app for that mobile-friendly experience. This has been a production of the Liberty Public Schools Communications Office. For more about this podcast and all you need to know about LPS, visit our website at www.lps53.org.